Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel, and we're going to continue with our discussion of the Word of God, how we are to live out this Christian life by faith. And last week, we were in Hebrews chapter 11 looking at the different witnesses or the testimonies of those who live by faith. Now, just to recap, we said faith is the substantiation, or is the, in the original Greek, it says that in Hebrews 11 and 1, it says that now faith is the substantiation of things hoped for. So we got to have faith in order to substantiate, in order to confirm or to prove what we don't see. We're hoping for something, and that's the reality of the New Testament blessings, all which we obtain in the covenant, the new covenant. When Christ died, it became the New Testament. And in this will, he left some things, which is an inheritance unto us. And we have part of it right now, but we'll get the full inheritance once we are raptured and resurrected to be with the Lord. Amen? So right now it says here in the expanded Greek, now faith is the substantiation of things hoped for, the conviction or evidence of things not seen. So the believer, this is simply telling us the believer is to live out his Christian life, his or her Christian life, based upon faith. And faith is used as like our five senses, how we see things and we touch things and we smell things. We can determine what they are. We substantiate things by what we see, the physical, right? But in the spiritual, we don't necessarily see what we're hoping for. And so just because I don't see it doesn't mean that it's not there. I have to trust God and I have to believe in God, and this is where our hope comes in. So it takes the trials. The Bible says that tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope, and then hope maketh not ashamed. So if we never have trials and circumstances, it will not produce the patience or the endurance. Now, when we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, he said, "For you have need of patience or endurance in order that, having done the will of God, you may obtain the promise." See this? It takes patience. Patience has to be wrought or worked in us. And Sister Kim, you read that earlier in Philippians chapter 2:13? I'm sorry, say that again.
4:13.
Right. Work out his salvation in and through us, and how we have, in order for us to do the will of God, we have to allow his desires, his will, his way. We have to become one with his will and his way, and it takes the cross, determination of the old man, the self. This is why Christ tells us to deny self, pick up the cross, and follow. So it will take a daily denial of self. I don't care what circumstances we're faced with. God has tailor-made or orchestrated situations in our personal lives to get us to the goal of being transformed and then eventually conformed. So it takes the process of transformation. I'm getting some feedback. Someone might have to mute their line. It takes the process of transformation to get us where we need to be. And that is conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So in order to live out this life and be victorious and be an overcomer, it's going to take faith, trust. And faith, we'll see in chapter 12, has to be given unto us. We don't see our natural man, and the characteristic of the natural man is to have unbelief. We naturally don't believe. You see this? This is the characteristic of the natural man. So this is why the natural man, the natural mind, has to be transformed. Because we base things on what we see.
Amen, yeah.
You know, we base things, we walk by sight, the natural man. And even as a Christian, you can use your natural your naturalness, your sight, your feelings, emotions, if they've not been transformed by the Spirit of God, then you're a carnal Christian. Why? Because we're walking based upon the appearance of things. Remember when Peter, when Christ told the disciples that he was going to go to the cross and be crucified and all these things, and Peter said, you know, far be it for you to go to the cross. He had his own agenda. And so because it was not set on the will of God and he wasn't transformed, Christ saw that Satan was using Peter. You see, this is why we have to have transformation. Because when we're in our feelings and our opinions and our emotions, it gives Satan a license. This is what the fall has done. This is why Satan came in the garden and caused the fall, because he works through our flesh. When we're in the flesh and we're in our emotions, it gives Satan an avenue to use us to get to those that are trying to live for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So the first thing Christ told Peter was, he looked at him, but he saw and recognized the spirit at work, and it was Satan. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense, because you're saying, you're looking at things from a human perspective, those things that are of man and not of God." You see that?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Spirit of God that comes in us to change and uplift. He has to first terminate our natural thinking, a natural mind, natural will, even our natural love towards one another. If it's natural and you love, you know, most of us base love or it's based upon a condition. But the love of God is unconditional. See, you're not, okay, as long as they're doing nice to me and doing good things for me, I love you, sister. But as soon as they speak the truth and according to the the word of God, there we go. I can't stand her. That means we've not been transformed, even as a Christian. So we have to learn to love. What did Christ say? What did the scripture say? While we were sinners, Christ died for us. See, while we were yet sinners, he could have said, if he was in his natural self, he could have said, you know what, they did all this to me. Lord, I'm not dying for them. But he looked past our faults because of the love, for God so loved the world.
Yes.
See, he still loves the world. And this is why we have to allow the love of Christ to be worked in us through trials, tribulation, because God is at work for something greater than my circumstances. See, we, like you said earlier, Sister Cherry, we're trying to get out of the problem. We want to bypass the process, changes us, and we just want, Lord, deliver me, get me out of this situation. But God tailor-made the fiery furnace situation for the Hebrew boys to face. And their mind, they were determined in their minds. They said, if we perish, we perish. If God wants to deliver us, he will. But they went on ahead and went forward. How? By faith.
By faith, amen.
Knowing that God had already, he was going to work it out for whatever good. If they died, they would be in God's presence.
Amen.
If they lived and survived it, God would be glorified. You see this?
Yes.
So this is why we have to trust God to the saving or the gaining. This is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse, I think it was the verse 39. He says, but we are not of those who shrink back to ruin, but of those who have faith to the gaining of the soul. And your translation in the King James is a little different. The expanded Greek just takes and expounds more on the word, because the Greek words are, it's more flavorful. It has more meaning, more than the English. So it will expand and say a lot more than what we see when they translate it in the English of the King James Version. So he says, but we are not of those who shrink back to ruin. I think your translation says drawback, right? And all it did is expanded the meaning of the word drawback, which means to shrink. to ruin of those who have faith, but of those who have faith to the gaining of the soul. God wants to gain the soul. And this is what we have to see. This is the whole purpose of God working in us. He's transformed. Mm-hmm. He starts in the human spirit. He regeneration starts in our human spirit. And our spirit, human spirit entails or contains the conscience, the intuition, and the area that God communes and fellowship with us. This is where God has fellowship. This is where he had fellowship with Adam before the fall. After the fall, the spirit fell. The spirit, soul, and body. And Satan was able to use the flesh of man, the fallen nature of man, to accomplish his will. So this is why you and I have to, in Christ, we're given life. Adam, the first Adam, brought death, and it was spread to all of those born, all of humanity. And I'm hearing some feedback of some things in the background. But with Christ, just like death spread to all of humanity, Christ, when we accept him, he gives us life. You see this?
Yes.
And this life will continue, this divine nature that's in us, is the spirit of Christ, the God, the triune God, at work, because Christ was processed. See, we couldn't have God in us, because God is holy, and, you know, in the Old Testament, the way he was holy, righteous, and all those things. He couldn't come into us the way we are. He couldn't come into it. So there had to be, because man is fallen. So that's why Christ had to come as a man and redeem man. He had to come in the likeness of the sinful flesh for sin and condemn it in the flesh. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This way, he had to go through being crucified so that we can embrace the triune God. Remember, he was the visible image of the invisible God. And we cannot digest God, just like you go to the grocery store and you buy, say you want to make a cake, so you buy the eggs, the flour, the sugar, and all those things. Although I have all the ingredients, this is what we see God. We see God as Jehovah Jireh. We see him as a Jehovah Nisi. We see him in all his glory, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have all the individual characteristics of God, but man cannot contain God, remember? Man was created in the image and likeness of God, and the purpose was for man, for God to be expressed through man. But because of the fall, this did not happen. See? But once Christ came, you took the eggs, the milk, the flour, the sugar, came in his divinity and with humanity, and he had all the characteristics of the Godhead in him. Now it needs to become placed in us. And the only way it could was for Christ to fulfill. He had to go through death to condemn sin, to address the sin problem, the fall problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way he could impart righteousness and Christ could come into us. Remember, in the Old Testament, they could not, for the work of sanctification and transformation, it couldn't take place because, remember, the Old Testament was a type and shadow of a coming Redeemer. And I'm going this way because I think if we see it, how things work, then it helps us to play it out in our day-to-day salvation experience. So we see Christ in types and shadows, but the reality comes on the scene, and now we have God in the flesh, and he condemns sin, and now he goes through resurrection. He became the seed placed in the earth who died and produced much fruit. And we became the many brethren. See this? He was a prototype. So Christ by himself, he was very powerful, but he was limited as one man. But once he died, see, death brings life, because he had, in order for resurrection life to come forth, he had to die, and he propagated much more life in us. Y'all see this?
Mm-hmm.
So now righteousness, that, like, remember, when Adam fell, he brought and gave death to all of mankind. Now Christ, because he didn't fail, He came out victorious and was given a name above every name. He defeated Satan. So everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord, they're saved. That word save is big. Salvation is, it means the full salvation. It means, meaning that it starts at justification. You first have to be justified in order to be sanctified or transformed and conformed. Y'all see what I'm saying? And eventually we'll be given a glorified. This inner working will work all throughout and permeate from my soul to my, from my spirit to my soul and eventually my body. And that's the, that's when I'm, Christ returns and I get a glorified. Y'all see what I'm saying? It's the full salvation that won't be revealed until the last time or the last day. Any questions? I'll make sure I didn't confuse anybody. Okay. So here, let's go to Hebrews 11. I know a long introduction, but God is good.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So back at Hebrews 11, what verse did we stop at, Sister Cherry? The furthest
17.
We got. Okay. So we've read all of this is revealing the witnesses or the testimony of faith that all these Old Testament saints had. And we saw how each one, and like I told y'all to read this, you can read this in the entirety, but I want to jump down to verse 23. In verse 23, we see another example. All of these examples show that it was only by faith that these believers could overcome, could see the manifestation of God working things out for their good based upon faith, trust in what and God's redemption plan. They looked forward to a coming Redeemer. See, they had Christ in types and shadows. They knew that Christ would be the coming Redeemer. They didn't have the reality. But you can see how God moved upon them as they exhibited faith and did great exploits. Okay? Verse 23, let's start with Moses.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment.
Okay. You went out a little bit, Sister Cherry.
Oh, went out. Yeah.
So we have here, I hear you now. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Now, why? They had to see something. They had to feel something. And remember, the Spirit of God deals with us in our spirit, our intuition. You know how we say, I just felt something. I just felt it. But it's the Spirit of God who works in our intuition and our conscience, and we, it's the knowing part. But the understanding of it has to come through revelation as we walk it out by faith, you see? So they were moved by the Spirit to hide Moses for 3 months. And it said that they saw that the child was lovely, and they did not fear the king's decree. Many of us, you know, the Gentile world and the people today, they put out policies, rules, and we're just, oh, what the law says and the president said. But if it's against, one, your conscience, two, the will and the word of God, you and I are not to be moved by fear. Y'all see what I'm saying? Remember, we're in the world, but we're not of it. We're ambassadors of a greater kingdom. And I'm not saying rebel against the world and, or authority of the world system, but I'm saying we have to stand for truth and righteousness. We're not here to just get caught up in the world's interests. We're standing for Christ. To be an ambassador, I'm a representative of a greater kingdom. And so the world needs to see this. They saw it in Christ. They were compelled to run to Christ. When the woman at the well had an encounter and she gave them her testimony, they saw a change in her that caused them to listen to her testimony and go to Christ for themselves. This is how you and I are to be. We are to allow this transformation to take place in our lives and be moved by his spirit so that our lives will be a testimony to the world. And we cannot be moved by fear of the king's decree, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were killing all these young boy babies, male babies, and the parents disobeyed. And they hid Moses for 3 months. And they weren't moved by fear. This is what faith does. They did that by faith. Many, see, if we try in our natural man, we will fail. We'll be shaken in mind and spirit. And we'll do something that that'll cause us to, you know, whatever, get in trouble or whatever. But being moved by faith, God is well pleased. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
Keep going, 24.
By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Okay, so I'm going to read these notes here. It says, his parents hid him by faith. When he had become great, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be ill-treated with the people of God than to have the temporary enjoyment of sin. See, many of us would rather, because we don't deal with the persecution or the ill-treatment, we would rather have the temporary enjoyment or the pleasure in this life, the world system. So the Greek word translated temporary in verse 25 is also rendered, or maybe rendered as for a while or short-lived, fleeting or passing. So during Moses' time, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter was an enjoyment to the life of the soul. I'm talking about gaining of the soul or the losing of the soul. When Christ said, if you're going to come after me, you must lose your life as you know it. This is what he's talking about, wanting the enjoyment of life. And these Hebrew Christians they wanted to have the enjoyment of the soul life instead of dealing with the persecution that the living for Christ brought. Y'all see what I'm saying? They couldn't deal with the persecution because as Christians, we're going to have to deal with ridicule, persecution from the religious world and from the world system, Babylon, the system of Babylon. And if we're not built up by the Spirit in our faith, you won't be able to stand. So all this Moses didn't do in his natural man. He did it in according to the Spirit, according to faith, put it that way. And so by faith, he was able to stand up against Pharaoh, and he was able to have fellowship or enjoyment, short-lived enjoyment, I'm sorry, enjoyment with the children of Israel in their grief. He found enjoyment. This is us. We should have the enjoyment of Christ, not the enjoyment of the soul life, the world system, the world life, that which brings enjoyment to the soulish life. See, Adam and Eve they went from God consciousness to self because they were focused on the soul life, what brought enjoyment to them. You can be wise. They want to be like God. They want to lord over their own lives. You see what I'm saying? They wanted that which looked, and you see, they saw the fruit, that it looked good, and they could be wise. That was the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That was enjoyment for the soul life. But rather, Moses forfeited that so that he could have pleasure and deal with, even in the midst of being illy treated, he found enjoyment in Christ.
Amen.
See that? So Moses refused this. He chose rather to be ill treated with the people of God than to have the fleeting enjoyment of sin. The enjoyment in Egypt, that is the enjoyment in the world. That's what Egypt represents, the world. It's sinful in the eyes of God. It is the enjoyment of sin, of a sinful life, and it's temporary, and it's short-lived, fleeting, and passing. Moses didn't want that. Remember, all these folks that lived by faith was looking to something greater, long-lasting. not temporary, but eternal. This is our goal here while we're here on earth. We're not looking in the natural, the short-lived, passing, temporary life. We're looking to live this life again eternally.
Yes.
So if I have to suffer some persecution, I'm living this life just to live again.
Amen.
I'm not living it for this temporary world system. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So in 26, he says, it says that Moses esteemed the reproach of the Christ greater. Have you read that one, Sister Sherry? Okay, let's keep going.
Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
All right. Now, notice this. It says here, that Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater. See this? Greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked away to the reward. See? He was looking for the eternal reward. So we have to, in this life, we're going to suffer afflictions. You're going to go through some things in this life. And I don't want you to think that the Christian life is just all about sufferings and what have you. But what is suffering is my old natural self. You see this?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And what comes forth is the resurrected life of Christ that causes me to be able to stand in the midst of a crooked and perverse world and in the midst of afflictions, because it's working for a greater reward. So as a Christian, I'm learning to be an overcomer. I'm in this life to overcome life's obstacles, not to become a victim to it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So there's the reproach of this world system has nothing on or can't compare to the greater riches that's in Christ. So it says, because Moses was willing to suffer the reproach of the Christ, he will receive the reward of the kingdom. So remember, he wasn't allowed to enter into the rest of the good land because of, you know, his failure. But he will be with Christ in the kingdom. He was an overcomer.
Amen.
And this is what you and I are striving for. He chose not Egypt. He chose to live out this life despite the suffering and the persecution because he was looking for a greater reward. He was striving for something greater. Even though he failed at Meribah, I think it was, even though he failed in the wilderness when he chose not to, when he disobeyed God by striking the rock, and the Bible says that rock was Christ. They knew that in the Old Testament that they were looking for the coming Christ. They were looking forward. So this is why it says he was willing to suffer the reproach of Christ. He called it the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Even though the Bible don't go in details about those things, we see here in the New Testament that he was looking forward to the reproach of Christ, and he considered it greater than those treasures that he had in Egypt. Why?
Mm-hmm.
It says, for he looked away to the reward. You see that?
Mm. Yes.
So it says here, Christ, as the angel of the Lord, was always with the children of Israel in their afflictions. And that's in Exodus 3, 2, and chapter 7 through 9. I'm sorry, verses 7 through 9. It says, furthermore, the scripture identifies him with them. Hence, the reproach falling on them was considered his reproach. And the reproaches of those who reproach God fell also on him. The New Testament believers as his followers bear his reproach and are reproached for his name. That's in 1 Peter 4:14. Moses choosing to be ill-treated with the people of God considered this kind of reproach the reproach of the Christ of God, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt and Pharaoh's palace. For Moses looked away to the reward. So because Moses was willing to suffer the reproach of Christ or the dishonor, Moses will receive, like we just said, the reward of the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So remember, we are even though we're saved, we're still striving for something greater. And we're going to continue. We'll see this. Keep going. Any questions before we go further? Okay, let's keep going.
By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
So notice this. One thing I'm noticing by walking, these folks walking by faith, they did not fear the wrath of these
Amen.
Kings and the wrath and the what we read earlier about the laws and the edicts that these kings put out. They did not fear. See, many of us, like we said before, oh, I can't do that because of this. See, we when you walk by faith, you trust God. Despite what you see, despite what you hear, and how you feel. And as we walk, God will give us understanding. But first, you got to walk by faith. This is the requirement. Think about Abraham. Abraham, God did not reveal anything to Abraham about his whereabouts, where he was going to go, only until he walked by faith. So as he walked by faith, he told him first to leave Ur, leave his kindred. And come out, and not until Abraham walked by faith, then he got a little more revelation. Y'all see this? Then he was told that he was going to have a son later on, and the more that Abraham walked by faith, initially he was fearful, but you notice the fear start falling off as he walked.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us are, you know, we want to quote the scriptures and we want to know the scriptures, but it doesn't matter how much we know in our natural mind. Remember, it has to be transformed. And the only way it can be transformed is by walking by faith, trusting God, not knowing, not understanding, and allowing God to transform us to give us the mind of Christ. See this? So when he gives us the mind of Christ, he also gives you the endurance of Christ, the strength of Christ. Remember, Christ's life, that's what grace is. Grace is Christ's life in us, the resurrected life of Christ, and he is in us for the purpose of being, doing everything for us as we trust and lean upon him. Now, we're vessels, but we have to use our members, our body parts, as instruments of righteousness, meaning that I don't just sit back, oh, God, fix it, and wait. No, I'm a co-laborer, and I have to, like Abraham, trust God, walk.
Mm-hmm.
And will there be failures? Yes. But the good part is when we realize the failure can be a good thing when we learn from it. Realize I did it in my strength, just like Abraham and Sarah were trying to conceive the promised child by having Abraham sleep with Hagar. They realized in the failure that this trusting in the flesh prolonged the promise by almost 25 years. God doesn't talk about that in these chapters, in this chapter here, because God knew what it took to get Abraham and Sarah to where they needed to be, walking by faith.
Amen.
So it's the same for you and I. He's not calculating in our failures. He's just waiting to use the failures to get us to the point of trusting him and walking by faith. And sometimes we, like Abraham and Sarah, it may take a 1 year. It may take 5 years, 10, 20, some of us 30, 40, 50 years.
Amen.
Before we decide, okay, Lord, I get it. I got it now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go on and trust you.
Yeah. And Minister, I think that's what our problem is. We're trusting, not knowing. We're not knowing. I think that's
not. We won't understand. We won't understand. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's.
We want understanding before we go on and walk it out. I got you.
Yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm.
But God doesn't work that way.
Right.
What's the scripture say? Y'all help me out. He says, trust in the Lord, lean not in, on your own understanding. Y'all know that scripture. I can't remember it right now. But he tells us, don't lean on your own understanding. And that's the
power
that
in knowledge.
Say that again.
There's power in knowledge of the word.
Yes. But knowledge alone, what does it do? Y'all help me out.
Puffs
up.
It puffs you up.
Yes. So faith, we have to first have faith, walk, trust God, and then God, remember, he's going to give us the understanding to match what's in my intuition and my conscience. As I walk by faith, then the understanding, God will give that to me, which is in my soul, but I have to walk it out and trust him by faith. So by having knowledge alone, what it does is, in most cases, we have a lot of, I heard somebody use this analogy, and I heard them talking, it was a preacher, and they said that there was a man that was a Bible scholar, and he knew, they call him the living concordance. He knew the word. And he would just, he knew all the Greek, Hebrew, what have you. But then he walked out and took a cigarette, smoked a cigarette. See this? He had knowledge, but no application. There was no victory to overcome. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not having the experience of faith, he didn't have the power nor the ability to overcome sin, self, the world, Satan. Y'all see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right, well, that's what is it? Head knowledge.
Yes.
But if we're talking about spiritual knowledge, if we're talking about allowing the Spirit to lead and guide us to all truth, there's power.
Yes.
The problem with a major problem is the head knowledge, and not relying on the Spirit.
Right.
And trusting the Spirit to lead us as Christians, and most of the often enough people are led by the head knowledge. They learn scriptures, they can quote them, they can read them back and forward, whatever, and there's nothing behind it.
Wow,
right.
Amen.
Right. So
amen.
Go ahead and finish your. Go ahead, Sister Cindy.
And as Mother Baker said, and don't know how to live it.
Right. Amen. This is why it takes terminating, and which the cross does. And see, if we don't go through the process of change, we will never know how to apply it in our day to day experience. And have the knowing that comes forth out of the spirit man. So many Christians, like we were saying earlier, we can take this and read it and want to enhance our spiritual growth. Nothing wrong with it. But unless faith is applied, and we've used Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. See that? It takes the crucifixion first, and which is the process that many bypass, because God, remember, has a tailor-made circumstance for each of us in our day-to-day situations and living to put to death some things in our heart and life. And if I don't want to go through the circumstance, then I won't gain the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of how to apply truth.
Yes.
And this is how God matures us. It's through tribulation that works or produces the patience, and the patience the experience, and the experience produces the hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. And this is why many of these folks were able to, by faith, go on and go forward. So this is why Paul comes back to the Hebrew Christians and say, You're talking about going back to Judaism, back to the types, back to the shadows, and you've experienced all of this stuff, and you have knowledge of how God works, and Paul explained it to them. They knew this stuff. But in the face of difficulties, fear crept in. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whereas we see here with Abraham and with Sarah and with Moses, they did not fear the king's decree.
Yes.
But they went forward by faith. Even if they had to be ill-treated, Moses was ill-treated with the people, he didn't care because faith covered his mind, heart, and through Christ Jesus. Y'all see this?
Amen.
Amen. So verse, was it 27?
We're on 28 now.
Okay. But 27 says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he persevered as one seeing the unseen one. And that one is capitalized. Y'all see? So let's keep going, 28.
Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them.
So all of this, you see how the ministry of Moses was birthed out of his, one, obeying God in Egypt. Now see how it progresses and how it gets bigger and bigger. And that scripture where we read about how God is working in us to put the will and the desire. Sister Kim, I think we're going to go to that scripture. Y'all keep y'all fingers. I think it's Philippians 2.
It is.
12 and 13. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You got it, Sister Kim?
Let's see. I can find it.
Okay. Let's go there because I want us to see how this thing gets bigger. As we walk by faith, the gift makes room for us. Y'all see this? Moses wasn't trying to, well, let me see what my ministry is and my purpose. Let me find out my purpose. Let me. You know, we're too busy in the natural trying to figure God out, figure out what I'm supposed to do, what I'm supposed to be. But if I just exhibit faith, your fight and my fight is to fight the good fight of faith, to believe God in the midst of all the difficulty that comes against faith, against God. Believing causes us to go forward regardless of what we're faced with, whether it's the wrath of the king, whether it's the decree of the king, doesn't matter. Things in this life that hit us, sickness, the enemy wants to stop us by what we experience externally in the natural. But God wants to progress us, take those same things and progress us by faith into his reality of the kingdom.
Yes.
Amen. Philippians 2, you got that, Sister Kim?
I do.
Okay.
It says, for it is God. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Okay. The word for introduces the reason we need to obey always. The reason is that God operates in us. Y'all see this? God is operating in us. The life, the Bible says, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It's God operating. He's energized. He's waiting. And what causes him to progress and move is faith.
Yes.
But when I exhibit faith, God is ready to impart his righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. He's ready for it to permeate and saturate my entire being. And this will cause transformation of my natural mind, my natural being, my natural doing. All that stuff is transformed. And then I become conformed. I become that mold in the image, just like a cake put in a bundt pan or the other size pan, what is it, 9.5 by 13? I can't remember the length and the width, but whatever you put that batter in, it takes the shape, right? After it goes through being heated and processed. The process is you and I going through the crucifixion, the death. We're crucified with Christ so that the life of Christ, can we can come forth as having the mind and the will. He says God who operates in you and I, both the willing and the working for his good pleasure. See that?
Amen.
So it says, the reason is that God operates in us. God's life and economy, we have the Lord Jesus as our pattern or the standard of our salvation. And we also have God operating in us, both the willing and the working, that our salvation may be carried out, brought to its ultimate conclusion. That's what it means in the Greek. Just like doing, we mentioned before last week, doing a long division problem. You have to work it all the way out until you get the ultimate conclusion. That problem, and when I was in school, we used to have to do these problems, algebra problems that took several sheets of paper to come to the ultimate conclusion. And in our lives, God has to use several situations to carry out his will, come to the ultimate conclusion of his will and his desires in us. Remember I said some of us, but it depends on you and I how much we're willing to work with God, willing to die to self, willing to die to our opinions and our biases and our doctrines and our traditions. All these things got to be worked out. Right to be right. Y'all know how we do. And so it says the only thing we need to do is to obey the inner operating God. That's all we need to do. If we obey, guess what? Scriptures come to you naturally by the Spirit of God. He will put in you. Because of what you've experienced, and then you in the face of in your word and seeking the Lord, that scripture becomes your own. And you didn't go have to memorize it. It became a part of you because you experienced it. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now there, God worked out that scripture in your life through experience, and you know. Can't be taken away. You know some things you know because you had to deal with that and you had to got understanding through that, and God worked it out, brought it to the ultimate conclusion in your life, and now we know.
Amen.
And now we know that all things are working together what? For the good of them that love God and are called according to his purposes.
Amen.
Yeah.
So every circumstance in our life, I don't care how bad it is or difficult it is, it's God working, operating in you and I to bring to ultimate conclusion his will, us knowing his will and working out his good pleasure in us. God is operating in us. So remember, just like a pear tree or a peach tree, and I planted them both, but the peach tree, it would get to a certain point, and then it would just, the worms would take over. But I never had to go out there and say, as it was planted, peach tree, please produce peaches. Pear tree, please produce pears. I never had to do that. I never had to pray to the tree or ask the tree to produce peaches or pears. Guess what? The life source in that seed automatically brought forth peaches and pears. Y'all see what I'm saying? Once the seed was placed in the ground, covered, watered, and the sunshine hit it, and the rain or what have you, it automatically, the life force of that tree or that seed brought forth fruit.
Yes.
Christ was buried in the earth, died. He was that kernel of wheat that came in the earth, and he died, and he produced fruit. Now, the seed of that fruit is in you and I. And guess what? I don't have to pray, seed of the Spirit, come forth and produce Christ-likeness. No, I need to get out of the way. I need to walk by faith. I need to trust God. I need to walk with him. If he tells me to leave Ur, If I don't understand and I fail in my leaving and I say, oh, I got it now, Lord, then you take that and you get up and you go forward by faith. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The life force of that seed will bring forth whatever it has been planted. And the life of God has been planted in you and I, and he will bring forth the life of Christ, the resurrected life of Christ, as I yield and walk by faith.
Yes.
I do not frustrate. That's what Paul said. The problem is that many of us are frustrating the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
How are we frustrating him? Because our opinions are in the way. Our traditions are in the way. Our doctrines, our biases, and all these things that were naturally planted in us, they're in the way, and we've not allowed his crucified life to put them to death.
Amen.
You see this? And this is what these folks had to do. When Moses encountered and his parents encountered all these things, all of these were tests. For Abraham, it was a test for them to trust God in the midst so that God could bring forth the life of Christ or God. Faith caused it. You see this? Faith is what was used. They had to get to the point where they had to operate by faith instead of the natural. That's where God wants each of us. So by faith, notice how they keep progressing. By faith, he went from being in the house of Egypt, faced with the children of Israel in their poverty and in their persecution and all that stuff. It led them out of Egypt. This is what faith did. And eventually he instituted the Passover and the pouring out of the blood. See, God gave him the revelation. See this?
Amen.
This wasn't instituted by Moses. Well, I think this is a good idea. You know how many of us in ministry, we come up with all these different ideas of the natural man? No, this was implemented by the Spirit of God, and he didn't come up with this. He had to go in the mountains and be with the Lord, and God revealed all of this to Moses. It was a faith walk.
Mm-hmm.
So by faith, he was also able to do what? Verse 29. Keep going, Sister Cherry.
By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, Assyrian, to do were drowned.
Okay, so you see the difference with being led by God and the Spirit, mm-hmm. and being led by the natural man. So by faith, they were able to pass through the Red Sea. Now, initially, we saw in the scriptures, now God didn't put this into this account, but we saw in scriptures that the people murmured against Moses and complained and said, you brought us here to die, and now we're faced with the Red Sea, because they weren't operating by faith. They said, we're faced with the Red Sea in front of us and Pharaoh behind us. And who we should just stone you, Moses. Moses cried out to God through prayer. God said, don't pray. Go forward.
Yes.
Many of us probably still at our Red Sea praying. And God is saying, whatever your Red Sea is, whatever is hindering you and whatever represents your Pharaoh behind you, you and I have to learn to go forward by faith and watch God part. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't until they walked by faith that they went through the Red Sea on dry land. It wasn't there praying, and God had told them what to do. And so by faith, they had to go forward.
Yes.
And then it says, now the natural man, the unsaved natural man, tried to do go on the dry land. They were swallowed up by the waters, right?
Right.
Let's keep going, Sister Cherry. We're going to jump. Keep going. We're almost there.
By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days.
Keep going.
By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jehoshaphat, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets.
Okay. Now notice in verse 33, it's still talking about people and their testimony walking by faith, what faith has done in their lives throughout the centuries, the years, right? So mm-hmm. he says in 33, who through faith overcame kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions.
Amen.
See this? Look at all, this is all these things faith accomplished in these folks' lives because they trusted God, not understanding God, not understanding some things, but they walked it out believing and allowed faith to substantiate all that they hoped for. Keep going, verse 34.
Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in the fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens.
Keep going.
Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection.
Now, see, there's some of them, they did not accept deliverance. They didn't. They went through, and they did not see the reality of what they hoped for. They didn't get the miracle, you know, all the things that we read above in the scriptures. They didn't see the miracles worked out. Some of them died. Now, some women, it says they received the dead by resurrection. Others were tortured to death, not accepting deliverance. They didn't accept it. Why? Because faith, you see, they had such great faith or trust in their God that they, through death, knew that on the other side it was much greater.
Amen.
They knew that even if they had to face death, things were still greater on the other side. Why? Because they were overcomers. They had overcome some things, and they were, God worked things out even greater in their lives, even though they didn't experience it here in the here and now on the other side. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It says, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. This is where I want us to be. Now, we were talking about overcomers, and we were talking about believers. All of us, when we give our lives to Christ, we're saved. We're Christians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Followers of Christ. But there has this word here, when you look at better resurrection, it has a different meaning here. It says here, the better resurrection is not only the first resurrection, as we see in Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6, talking about when the body is raptured. The resurrection of life, but also the out resurrection. That's what this word better resurrection refers to. It means out resurrection or extra resurrection. So the resurrection in which the Lord's overcomers will receive the reward of the kingdom. This is the same resurrection the Apostle Paul sought after in Philippians. And it's talking, I think it was chapter 3. He was pressing toward the mark for a prize. This is a reward. These people were looking for the out resurrection or the better resurrection. Now, it's showing us also that there's a better resurrection, there's a better covenant. There's all throughout Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, you see that God talks about a better city, a better country. It's talking about the New Jerusalem, the coming kingdom. This is why these folks that were tortured to death, they did not accept deliverance, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. See this? It's talking about the reward of the overcomer. Now, we hopefully we'll get to this, and I know my time is almost up, but when you look in scriptures, and especially in Revelation, it shows that there is the rapture of the overcomers happen before the harvest of overcomer or the harvest of believers. We'll get into this later on, but the comers that were produced out of the universal woman that we see with the stars and the moon under her feet and what have you, which is the universal church that produces a man-child, which is the stronger part out of that church. That is those are the overcomer, and they're raptured straight to the throne of God. As you go through Revelation, you'll see the different overcomers that are raptured before the tribulation. And Revelation, you see where Christ warns or tells the Christians, the churches, that if they are not, I think it was in chapter 2 when he was dealing with the Philadelphia church, but he tells them that if you go on and be overcomers, you'll be saved from the hour of testing that is to try the whole world. That's the Great Tribulation. We go on later, you see that the harvest or the majority of the believers are raptured after the 3.5 years of tribulation. Paul gives us evidence of that in 2 or 1 Thessalonians when he says at the last trumpet. There's 7 trumpets, and the last trumpet is blown after the tribulation. It's during the tribulation and after the tribulation. So my point is, the out-resurrection that these folks and the Apostle Paul was striving for was the better resurrection, meaning being raptured as the overcomer, not after the tribulation that is to try the whole world. And so the testimony that they've shown here, it shows that believers, these believers by faith went on. They went on to trust God despite what they face in this natural life. Now, if I'm willing to lose my life as I know it, this is why Christ said, if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself. And he told him you have to lose your life so that you can find true life. This is the gaining of the soul. This is those that go on and they receive the reward. So the folks that, and I'll end on this note and we'll get to it later on, but the folks, when you read in Revelations 19, 20, 21, you see the overcomers coming back with Christ, or the bride of Christ coming back. These are the overcomers, those that overcame all throughout the script, through the Old Testament on forward to the New. And these folks come back to rule and reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom. Now, all the saints will appear at the end of time after the 1,000 years. And evidence show in the scriptures that at the judgment seat, those that were overcomers will be rewarded. Those that, remember, we're at the judgment seat, he says those that works burn, they were going to suffer loss, and they will enter in as by fire. The fire is what's used to purify, to bring the saints up. Those that did not mature like they should have, to bring them up to the proper standing. And we'll get into that because it's very important, because a lot of us Christians think, oh, I'm saved, and I may not have done much now while I was here on earth, but when God comes, all of that's going to be over and I ain't got to worry about it. Nope. What you did or what we do now, this is why the Apostle Paul said, I press. Wasn't pressing to be saved. He was saved. He wasn't pressing for his salvation. You know, he said, I don't want to be a reprobate. He didn't want to be disqualified. He wanted to gain the crown. You see this? He wanted the reward. And the Bible says, Christ said, if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. Read the 7 churches and you'll see how he speaks to the overcomer and what happens to each one. And we'll get into that again, hopefully after the study of Hebrews. But on that note, I think my time is up. We're going to take questions and comments at the end of the call. But I only said that so you can see this is an incentive. God made the reward of the kingdom an incentive for us to go on so that we can accomplish his will here on earth. If we have no incentive, everybody sits down on God. Everybody, nothing gets accomplished. Remember, he wants his life to be expressed through us the same way that his life was expressed through Christ. And most of us, we get saved, and then we just go to our own natural way of thinking and doing things, and we never allow this resurrected life of Christ to come forth to make us overcomers by faith. So until next Tuesday, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.